Hello, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Doing good, man. What's going on?
Yeah, no, I'm just, it's 11 o'clock here. I've just finished watching a video on the Beach Boys. You can see Alwyn in the background. She's on, what are you on? Facebook or something. So, how are you doing?
Do this. My head keeps turning, turning like Russian roulette. Thoughts are like bullets. I cannot do this. Do this. Do this. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this.
Hit my record button there on the here on Skype, so I figured I'd just record it and kind of see how things would go, and maybe we can get together a full podcast from just this. Why don't you? I guess we can kind of start off, and we can take this part that we just had and kind of edit that together.
Sure.
So the name of the podcast that folks are listening to or going to be listening to is Something Beautiful, and you kind of came up with that idea from Brian McLaren's book Everything Must Change. What brought that about?
Well, I think we'd had a sort of series of conversations over Twitter and stuff about what would make sense, what would be a good name, and when I was finishing off the book, I'd been desperate to finish it, but it's been one of these fantastic books that I've just not been able to finish, although I managed to yesterday. But it's one that I was always rereading, always one that I've been going over and over. And I'm reading that sort of part of nearing the end of the book, and he talks about being agents of something beautiful. And there was something that really sort of, I don't know, lit a fire inside that just really made it stand out, because on one hand it was specific, you know what I mean, that we are working for something beautiful. We are working for the Lord and his creation and trying to bring his kingdom to earth, bring that piece of, that piece of love to our fellow man. But there's also something a bit abstract about it, just a wee bit sort of vague, which I think was great, you know what I mean? Because, it is something beautiful, but what is beautiful? You know what I mean? Everything is beautiful. It's not specific. It's not pinpointing anything. And the whole point of the podcast is we had a discussion on Jonathan was about just hearing the stories of people, hearing the stories of individuals, and just getting their perspective on the thing. If anything, just encourage others that are in a similar state. Because there's a lot of people getting the headlines. There's a lot of people getting almost becoming heroes in this thing. And to be honest, it's about just the ordinary folk. I was reading. I'm rereading The Irresistible Revolution by Shane Claiborne, and he has this really nice passage about stories that is just really struck a chord with me this morning when I was reading it on the train. And it's not about, it's not about all the big people telling, top down preaching to us that will make the difference. It will be the stories. People can get all offended by ideology and political parties and all these kind of things. But you're hardly going to get annoyed by somebody's story. You're not going to fall out with somebody because their experience. You're going to share it. You're going to connect with it. And even if you can't quite dig it, you know what I mean, if you can't quite understand it, you'll at least appreciate their honesty and their humanity about it. So that for me is something beautiful, you know what I mean. A story is, you just don't know what you're going to get. It's just going to be something beautiful, something extraordinary that it's about conversations that are worth telling, because there's so much on the news and so much in the blogosphere and all these kind of things of people, bragging themselves up, And in Scotland, we're so obsessed with celebrity. I think it's actually British, if not American, obsessions with celebrity.
Yeah, we don't have that problem here in America. We don't care about celebrities.
No, that Hollywood place, that doesn't exist.
That's all a figment of people's imagination.
Yeah, it's like we pretend it rains all the time in Scotland, but that's just to sort of keep the tourist numbers down, it's about real stories from real people to encourage and to hopefully just nurture how do you put it? It's something beautiful. It's just hearing that heartwarming story, that conversation, that catching up with an old friend that tells you a story. There's something wonderful. There's something human about it. But there's something deeper than that. There's something that really goes to the deeper and into our souls that we can really connect with each other through our own stories. So
I think
a bit long winded, but.
No, that's fine. I think that for me, it's, one of the things that we do at church at Encounter is in November we have 3 to 4 weeks where people just give their testimony and they kind of give their story of how God worked through their lives. And to me, that's a great time. It's actually one of our most popular series that we do each year. It's one of our most downloaded podcasts, things of that nature. And just hearing people tell their story really makes an impact. In fact, just the other night, we were talking at a community group, and we were talking, a lady said, I have some problems with a family member, and I'm at that point where I feel like giving up. I feel like just telling this family member, no more, I don't want anything to do with you, I don't want to have a relationship because you keep hurting me. And I can sit there and give her scripture all day long and say, well, this is what scripture says, but when the guy next to me says, hey, I've been in your shoes, and let me tell you how I've gone through that, how I was able to overcome that, how I was able to give love, all of a sudden they have a unique connection, and it's his story that actually helps her understand, well, okay, maybe I can go a little bit longer. Maybe I can live a little bit more. And so I love the idea that, as we've talked about this and so forth, I love the idea of just everyday people. Sure, we may get some quote-unquote A-list celebrities, B-list, whatever, celebrities in there, but I love the idea that it's just a normal Joe walking down the street telling his story and telling how God matters to him.
Yeah. So, I'm a member of the Salvation Army, and it's something that's really dear to my heart is the Army. And one of our sort of traditions, one of the things that we spend a lot of time in is testimony, as you quite rightly said. But we focus on what the Lord is doing just now, So, because I've been in churches where people get up and do their testimony, and it's in 1945 I accepted Jesus into my heart. And don't get me wrong, that's precious, That's important. But what I want to hear is what the Lord is doing in your life right now, Because we don't know how the Spirit moves. And what I love is actually sitting back sometimes, and don't get me wrong, I'm one of these people that's always up. I've always got a story to tell. That's why I'm so passionate about stories. And I love it when somebody gets up and says something, and then somebody gets up and says something else, and they connect. That there is some sort of pattern that appears, and only the Spirit could have worked that out, Because these people weren't in collaboration beforehand, They're not in cahoots trying to work up the story. It's just 3-4 random people telling their stories, and somehow they all interconnect. And there's been times when I've come away from church actually with more meaning, with more gaining more from those testimonies than I have from the sermon or from the worship or from various things. The testimonies, the stories have been really the most valuable for me, and I think that's why I want to hear more stories. There's people I know, there's people I'm friends on Facebook, and I just want to connect with them and just say, look, hey, tell me, what is God doing in your life right now? What's your story? Where, how have you got to this place? And, through that is just hopefully hearing things that others can take. Others can go, wow, You know, I mean, that person is in the same boat. You know, that in your the same shoes, in my shoes, is just such a wonderful metaphor. And I think that's really, really important. And it's a real way that we can nurture and build up, you know, build up the church, build up our you know, our friends, and really just connect to others. And I think that's part of the way or the change in evangelism for me. Is evangelism's not about somebody standing up and telling you, you know, you must be born again, but it's about somebody coming alongside you and just chatting. And, you know, it's like that Emmaus Road experience where, you know, the Lord came along and came alongside, and it's about just that conversation. And it's about, you know, walking with someone, journeying with someone. And it might take a long time, but as long as you're honest and your story, you know, you keep your story up to date, and you know, that's the Lord can do wonderful things just through ordinary people living for Him. So
definitely,
that's the plan.
I guess we should probably tell people who we are if they do happen to listen to this. They may have just stumbled upon this somehow. I guess I could go ahead and say I'm Jonathan. I live in Texas, as you can probably tell from my accent, they say. I'm 29 years old and married to lovely Lori, who's actually sitting on the couch laughing at me right now as I tell who I am. We've been married for right at about a year, and actually just over a year, and really enjoying it, really active in my church encounter, which is probably different than a lot of traditional churches, which is probably one reason why I really am attracted to it and really love it. And Thomas and I, we've just kind of been talking about this idea of a podcast for maybe the last 2 or 3 weeks, and we've kind of thrown around some different ideas in the past, and it's been neat to see this come together, and just really excited. And I love the idea of Something Beautiful as the title. It's just that in everything you can find beauty, and in everything you can find some of God. And if God is everywhere, then there's beauty everywhere. There's a sculpture that we saw out at the Arboretum. Actually, we went out there for our anniversary. There's a sculpture of a little kid covered by a cardboard box. And I thought, you know, you see a cardboard box down the street, and it looks like trash, and it looks real dirty, but you see this little kid under there, and he probably, in real life, would probably be very dirty and filthy, but it's a child, and it's a child of God, and there's something beautiful about that child. And that sculpture just struck me, and so I love this idea that there's always something beautiful around you. And then kind of, you know, we've said something beautiful, stories worth talking about. You know, our stories are worth talking about, whether it's us telling other people our story, or maybe passing them on from person to person to person. You know, we want to share these stories where God has made an impact in our life, and how God has made a difference in our life. So, Thomas, I guess tell us a little bit about you and how you came to be.
Yeah, well, my name is Thomas, otherwise known as Headphonaut. I'm a blogger and, more importantly, a follower of God and the way of Jesus. I'm married to Alwyn, who is I'm lucky in the sense, or blessed, that I'm married to a really beautiful woman who's my best friend and just a real inspiration to me. And we've been married for coming up for 11 years in June. I'm 34 in my birthday. I know I don't look it, but then you wouldn't be able to say that because it's a podcast and you're listening to me. But yeah, I'm a member of the Salvation Army in Bells Hill. If you probably haven't gathered by my accent by now, I'm Scottish. Come from a town called Motherwell in Lanarkshire, just outside of Glasgow. So yeah, member of the Salvation Army, really passionate about new expressions of church and really trying to look to what the Lord wants, you know, from me, from his church, and just really interested, just more a fanboy, I've described myself, and for this whole emerging church thing, you know, just really encouraged by the way that, you know, people are expressing church in new and interesting and dynamic and creative ways. And, you know, this whole podcast idea came about from the fact that just looking to capture some of these people's ideas, you know what I mean, hear their stories, get the beauty out there, let other people be inspired by what they've got to say. Because, you know, I strongly believe that there is something beautiful. I think there's something beautiful in us all. I think we all reflect God in some way or other, and some, you know, it's just about capturing that and just trying to let people understand, you know, that God loves them, and, you know, it's about far more than they will ever understand. But, you know, just, yeah. I'm passionate about that, and I'm also passionate about my two children who are sleeping right now, because it's 11:30 when I'm recording this day. But yeah, my two girls, I've got a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old. Love them to bits. They're an absolute challenge. And yeah, apart from that, just active blogger, you know, and just trying to understand what the Lord wants in my life. Electricity. To a long weekend. We've got a Monday holiday. It's one of our bank holidays, so got Monday off, and intending just spending the time with Alwyn and the Waynes. Deeps on Saturday night, so just getting ready for that. And Indiana Jones tomorrow night. So
yeah, that sounds good. I think I'm gonna have to wait till Sex and the City comes out before I go see Indiana Jones. I have to go see
come
that.
Come on, Laurie.
I have to see that while
you should
Laurie's
be able to drag Laurie. No, come on. You must be able to drag Laurie. It's Harrison Ford.
You know, I don't know if she's a big Harrison Ford fan.
Wow. I had no persuasion with Alwyn. In fact, I think it was Alwyn that persuaded me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, he says that Ollie persuaded him to go see Indiana Jones. She seems to doubt that.
No. Oh, here she comes. Now, Owen's a bit of a Harrison Ford buff, it has to be said. So,
gotcha.
She even has some novel of him. So, there you go. That's a biography. So, she's a bit of a geek for Harrison Ford. So yeah.
Did she see him on Letterman the other night?
We don't get Letterman here.
Oh, well.
We would probably have to... we could probably get it somehow, but it's not like on one of our main channels.
Okay.
We have a chap called Jonathan Ross. He's kind of similar. He's not been out for as long, and we watch him on a Friday night. So he's quite good, but we don't have anybody really like Letterman since. We had a guy called Michael Parkinson, but he retired recently, so we don't really have anybody of, say, Letterman's sort of, caliber, you know?
Gotcha.
So that was that. So the other thing I've been watching was Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. That's going to the wire.
Oh, I know. She just won't give up.
There's one thing that we respect, Scots respect, is people that just don't give up. Because, you know, whenever the Scottish football team are in, like, a European competition or the World Cup or that, it usually comes down to the last game. And it's, like, mathematical chance of getting in. They need to get so many goals and they're... The other people in the group have to lose by so many, and there's always this hope. And she's actually getting almost beyond Scottish football hope now. You know what I mean? She's beyond that level of complete chance. And I have to say I respect her tenacity, but I just wish she'd give up and let Obama get on with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know what strikes me as funny is everybody wanted Huckabee to pull out as quickly as possible. And, you know, Huckabee kept saying, well, it'll be good for competition if I stay in. You know, it'll make things last longer. And now McCain's not getting any news coverage because he has no competition yet.
Yeah. Well, I have to say it's certainly gone quiet over here. And even if we do hear about McCain, it's usually in something to do with Obama or Clinton. There's always something, you know, comes in, you know, about that. It's not a... You know, there's nothing coming out dead certain about McCain other than I think he's having some sort of social this weekend with three potential running mates.
Oh, okay. See,
I think it'd be interesting if Romney was actually to run with him. I'm just not quite sure where that would go, you know what I mean? But then I was with you. I thought Huckabee had a real personality, you know? The other two just... seem to be just fat cats just wanting a piece of the pie, whereas Huckabee just there was something sincere about him that I couldn't quite put my finger on, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was one thing that turned me on with him early on. In fact, I found out about him before he even announced his presidency. A buddy of mine does a talk show on the local Christian rock station, and he actually had him on just as after he released his book about all his weight loss. And he just seemed a very sincere guy and very genuine. And so when I found out he was running for president, I definitely was excited because I knew I knew enough about him from previously that I was excited about that.
Definitely. Now he came over very articulate, you know what I mean? And I think there was a few things, I don't know, it was a shame that he didn't really get more than he deserved, you know what I mean? He would have been a real, I always think we'll look back and think what would have been like if the Republicans had went with him, because he would have been a real breath of fresh air. You know what I mean? He was conservative, sure, but he wasn't really in the pockets of the big business like McCain and and Romney were. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, it's far more interesting talking about American politics because you've actually got some real characters. We've got Gordon Brown who. Is even dull when somebody tries to impersonate him, you know? I really feel sorry for the comedians that try to, impersonate him now, because he's just dull. He just really is dull. And I think the big news for us, MPs had an opportunity to vote down the abortion limit, and they didn't, so our abortion's still at 24 weeks. They had the chance to put it down to 20 weeks, so that was a wee bit disappointing from our side perspective. But, you know,
now as far as Scotland and the UK and so forth, how is abortion perceived over there? Is it still majority people feel like they want it, or is it more, you know, they feel like it's maybe a necessity somehow?
I think the general consensus is that it's a necessity. Nobody, I was just finishing everything must change. And it was really quite cool, that bit at the end where he was talking about nobody wants an abortion, nobody talks about it. And that's certainly here, but the one thing that we have, certainly in Scotland, is quite a high sort of Catholic presence. And there's a lot of, I have a lot of respect for the Catholics for them standing up to what they believe. And the abortion is really a contentious issue for them. But I don't think it's really as polar. It's not, I think it's maybe more polite over here than it is over where you guys are. You know what I mean? It's not really that polarised. But there is the big sort of pro-choice and pro-life movements and stuff like that. But it tends to be more, you know, it's one of these things. It's like how would I say it? It's like a necessity. You know, it's like the lesser of two evils. You know what I mean?
Right. Is it more? I guess people view it as, you know, if. I think, like, I love the way McLaren put it. He said that, you know, abortion, you don't plan on getting pregnant, typically. You engage in an act, you, quote-unquote, accidentally get pregnant, and then abortion's kind of the way to correct that. Kind of like he compares it to greenhouse gases. He says you want to make a lot of money producing whatever product it is, and, you know, the byproduct of that is greenhouse gases, and you're just kind of like, oh, well, we'll fix it when the time comes.
Yeah. I think that's very much the attitude here, and you know, unfortunately, we have quite a high sort of teen pregnancy rate, and you know, there's a lot of, you know, we have a lot of our troubles here. You know what I mean? Alcoholism and amongst young people as well as older people. You know, there was something very recently whereby a kid, you know, not much older than Dana, reported on the news as having severe alcohol poisoning or something to do with basically that they'd taken so much alcohol that their liver, and they were ill, you know what I mean, really seriously ill, not necessarily dependent, but really ill, you know, the kind of thing that you'd see like a 50 or 60 year old man that's been drinking for all his life suffering from, and this is a kid in not even in their teens. So we're really suffering from sort of alcohol and pregnancy, you know, teen pregnancy, and it's these are the real issues, you know what I mean? I think it's that story about how to put it, that, you know, stop asking questions or trying to answer questions that nobody's asking, you know what I mean? It's like, let's stop sort of navel gazing or trying to worry about how many angels on the tip of a pin of, you know, a pen, and actually start answering the real questions, you know, the real issues that we've got. And there's a real sense of sort of almost like self-hatred, and, you know, within our community, whereby we have to almost medicate against our feelings, you know. So we tend to drink to excess and to have sex just for a sense of intimacy, and, you know, take drugs and just really just to escape life. And it's just trying to bring hope back to the people you're dealing with, you know what I mean? And it's hard, it really, really is hard. You know, Owen deals with regularly with men who, you know, older men that have maybe lost their partners or whatever, and all they enjoy is to get, you know, drunk, and she's dealing with that on a regular, you know, a regular basis, you know what I mean? It's just trying to bring that wee bit of hope back in. But there's a real sense of almost self-hatred, which is really quite sad, and one of the things that you need to deal with when you're in Scotland, you know. So.
Now, Ollie works at the, I guess y'all have like a church store and so forth.
Yeah, what we've got is basically in our church in Bells Hill, they have a community work, and basically what happens is for £2, well, it's about $4, the men, the majority of them are men, tend to be single, sort of widowed kind of men, but there are women that are there as well, but they tend to come in and get a three-course meal and just a bit of fellowship, just a bit of community, you know, so that they're all tend to be quite closely linked and, you know, friends and stuff, and they'll come in for that hour, couple hours, and just grab some food, and, you know, it's nothing fancy, you know what I mean? We're not talking haute cuisine kind of food, but it's just really sort of hearty, practical food, you know. And it suits them down to the ground, and it just gives them somewhere to go, somewhere where they can go and get fed and just spend some time with like-minded people. And, you know, these people they're not necessarily Christian folk, you know, but they're coming because it's a community thing, and it's community in the true sense, you know what I mean? Everybody's looking out for everybody. And Owen, you know, they had a death, one of the men died recently, and Owen's boss went to the funeral, and it's that kind of community kind of thing. So she's doing that, and the thing that infuriates me more than anything is the fact that she's almost doing that without any recognition. And don't get me wrong, I'm not into recognition, I'm not hungry for the praise of my fellow man, but you know, church is not something we do on a Sunday just, you know what I mean? Church is all through the week, you know, and it's all, you know, these are the things that are just as much church as anything else. In fact, you could probably argue that these are more important than some of the stuff that we do on a Sunday, you know, because you're actually reaching out to people. And, you know, she's not necessarily preaching the gospel necessarily, you know, but she's living it out, you know what I mean? And she makes me proud, you know. She's always got a story. I was quite sort of saddened when she gave up blogging, because she'd come in and she's always got a story. There's always something going on in the place. It's always, you know, it's really either entertaining or really heartwarming, you know. So, but yeah, that's she makes me proud.
Good. Well, you mentioned it's almost 11:30 there where you are. It's only 5:30. We haven't even had dinner here in Texas. So I know that's going to be one of the interesting things, kind of logistically, trying to find times where we can get together. And a lot of these interviews I'd love to be able to do together, but I know that may not always be the case. But I'm really excited about this. I'm excited about getting it together. I'm excited about working with you on it. We've done a few things kind of in the past together. And, you know, it's so funny. We've both mentioned this several times, that we feel like we know more about each other than maybe our next door neighbor, just because of technology. And so it's amazing that we've built this relationship, and now we're doing a podcast with a 6-hour time difference, and hopefully sharing some stories from both sides of the pond of how God's working around the world.
I think the thing is that it's quite easy to feel isolated. It's quite easy to feel alone, and to feel like, you know, you're on the outside, you're kind of on the fringes. You know, I mean, if I was to go to my church, I could probably, in fact, I probably couldn't find anybody that's reading like Brian McLaren or that just now. Although, you know, Roots, the Salvation Army's alternate church conference, Shane Claiborne this year spoke. So suddenly people are getting Shane Claiborne and some of the, you know, the people that go to that, the sort of non-traditional elements of the army, you know, really getting Shane Claiborne and really getting a, you know, there's a real sort of sense of something potential coming. But it's easy to feel isolated. It's easy to feel alone. And I think the thing is this whole blogosphere and, you know, the wonderful thing that is Twitter, you know what I mean? It's, some people might think it's quite sad and pathetic, but I found it to be just an amazing communication tool, and just an ability to find out what friends are doing. And, you know, just now, I found out that my friend Chris is, his daughter's unwell. So, you know, I've got a chance to you know, throw up a prayer for Amy and to be able to contact Chris just purely from getting, you know, getting a bing on Twirl. So you probably hear the bing every so often when you listen to this back. But, you know, I feel a real connection, and, you know, I respect you. You know, I mean, we've, you know, we've walked together for a wee while now, Jonathan, and I've, you know, just grown in real respect and real love for you, for what you're doing, and, you know, just, I think we've connected, you know what I mean? And it's just a case, you know, it's wonderful to do this. It's just kind of crazy, but, yeah, kind of very now that we're building a podcast based, you know, two people that have never actually physically met. You know, I mean, that's pretty crazy. So, but yeah, we'll see how it goes. I believe the Lord's in it, and we just need to keep it vibrant, and more importantly, get people that actually have got stories to tell, and actually get the right people on here and get their stories on. And, you know, Skype is a wonderful thing. So, whoever invited Skype, thank you very much.
Yeah, we do enjoy the free coast to coast, or actually, I guess across the pond phone call now. That we don't pay a dime for.
yeah, very, very much so. It'd probably be costing me a fortune right now, but thank you, Mr. Skype.
Yes, and the fact that I can actually sit here and watch you, I don't have a video cam, but I can sit here and watch you is amazing as well. So, well, yeah. Man, I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully we can get some interviews rolling out here pretty quickly and get things rolling with Something Beautiful, the podcast.
Yeah, definitely, man. Looking forward to it.
Rival gangsters sit down to plan an after-school program. A religious fanatic posts footage of an interfaith service project. A group of teenage boys watches a video of a father playing catch with his son. An adult film star paints thumbnail portraits of elderly couples, fully clothed and smiling. A record executive records a demo of his apology. A policeman makes reverse 911 calls, instructing residents to take to the streets. A patriarch reports for duty. She's wearing an orange jumpsuit and holding a picket sign. She's ashamed of her birthplace, but retreat is not an option.
Women and children, frontline, log on, tune in, stand and be counted, wounded, stationed in the belly of the vulture. Watch your back, there's no civilians. Women, children, frontline, listen. Consider this a distant early warning. The fire's imminent, pollution gathering, dust particles funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation too bad. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.
Butterfly wing crosswinds send black hawks toward hurricane survivors. Roses sprout from empty lots and sidewalk cracks. Pacifist guerrillas move undetected through concrete jungles. New forms are beginning to take shape. Once occupied minds are activating. People are waking up. The insurgency is alive and well.
Rise of the Phobos, portrait of the new American insurgent. Rattle and shake the foundations of the world order. Assembly line, consent, resist, refuse, inform, create. Direct loved ones to the trenches. Suit up for trouble into fortresses. Plaster, cloth, aluminum, broken porcelain, rusted platinum. Burn blood stains from decompressed diamonds. Hammer the battle cry into braille studded armor.
We are building up a new world. Do not sit idly by, do not remain neutral, do not rely on this broadcast alone. We are only as strong as our signal. There is a war going on for your mind. If you are thinking, you are winning. Resistance is victory, defeat is impossible. Your weapons are already in hand. Reach within you and find the means.